Hello and welcome to the Australian Bitcoin Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Vilchinski. On today's show, we have Chris. So Chris is one of the organizers of the Bitcoin Alive conference. Bitcoin Alive will be held on Saturday, 15th of April, 2023 in Sydney. In the show, we'll learn a little bit about Chris and find out about what the conference will be about. I'm very excited about it's going to be the first really Bitcoin conference in Australia. There were some quite a few crypto conferences, but this will be the first one that's Bitcoin only. So it looks like there will be a lot of interesting guests, and I'm excited now to be going there. Chris was also generous enough to share a discount code with us, so you can use if you want to, the tickets on sale now, I believe. So you can use the discount code DANW. That's the code he gave us. It's based on my name. You can use that discount code to get a 10% discount on the tickets. This episode is brought to you by Hardblock Bitcoin Exchange. Hardblock is Australia's oldest Bitcoin exchange. Our mission is to help Australians preserve their wealth with Bitcoin. And we do that by promoting and helping with self-custody and with easy dollar cost averaging, set and forget from your bank account to your cold storage wallet. So hi, Chris, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Hey, Daniel, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Like I said, it's very exciting to have a Bitcoin conference in Australia. And but before we get on to that, I thought it'd be good to find out a little bit about yourself and who are the people. Some people might want to know who's organizing the conference. So, yeah, who are you and why should we? Can we trust you to organize a good party?
It's a good question. Well, yeah, I've been around in the Bitcoin space in Australia for quite some time. I first learned about Bitcoin in 2011, but I didn't really understand Bitcoin at all. Like most people in 2011, there was only really one reason typically they were using Bitcoin, and that goes the same for me. I was quite young and enjoying that part of my life. But it wasn't until sort of 2015 where I circled back to Bitcoin and realized, oh, wow, it's actually still around and it's actually being utilized for more things than what it was in 2011. So that was the first time I picked up the Bitcoin white paper and had a proper read. And that's what really sort of blew my mind. Back then, it was just a means to obtain certain goods. But once I picked up the Bitcoin white paper, I realized there's actually more substance to this thing than simply another payment method like Visa or MasterCard or PayPal or something like that. And so that's when I started kind of, I guess you could say, my professional foray into the Bitcoin ecosystem. So in 2016, I co-founded a hardware wallet reselling business in Australia called CoinStop. And so me and five best friends, basically at the time, were looking for a way to store our Bitcoin securely. And we found out about hardware wallets. In 2016, they were still fairly unknown. Obviously, Trezor was around. Ledger had sort of just getted started. They had their early devices like the HW1 and the original Nano. So even before the Nano S and the Nano S Plus, which is what most people are familiar with today. So we looked around online and we tried to find somewhere to buy one in Australia, and it turns out there really wasn't anywhere good to buy one of these from Australia. You had to buy them from Europe and you had to wait weeks and pay in euro and conversion fees. And sometimes you didn't even know if it was ever going to come. And so I guess we saw an opportunity and we said to ourselves, well, you know, we're not that unique. There must be other people in Australia that also want to secure their Bitcoin on a hardware wallet but don't have a way to do so. So we bought a box of 10 nanos we rounded up about $2,000 or $2,500 between the five of us, which back then for us was a fair bit of money because none of us really had great jobs or anything like that, university students and stuff like that. So yeah, we ran it up $2,500. We bought a box of 10 devices and I think a few other bits and pieces as well. And we built a website and kind of, as they say, the rest is history. So we rode the natural wave of 2017 with the bull market and we learned a lot through that first year. We made a lot of sales. There were no competitors in the marketplace in Australia. So we had first mover advantage, which was a little bit of luck, I guess you could say. Obviously, since then, hardware wallets have become very popular. There's many businesses in Australia offering similar services. We're still around. We're the oldest. We like to think we're one of the most respected and reputable brands, or at least companies offering this kind of product. But yeah, that was kind of like my toe dipping experience into the professional sphere of running a business and getting involved with Bitcoin. From there, I got really involved with the community side of things. So I was attending a lot of meetups. At the time, I was living in Melbourne. So I was going to the Bitcoin Center, which eventually got rebranded to the Blockchain Center, unfortunately. But, you know, met a lot of good people there, made some new friends, lots of ideas were spoken about. You know, these are the times where the Bitcoin Cash forks and all that sort of current affairs were happening. So there was a lot of interesting things to talk about every week. And so I was hosting one of the meetups there every Wednesday night called the Talk and Trade. And as we went through the bull market, we saw it start from, you know, maybe a dozen of us with a few pizzas and a couple of beers to upwards of 300 people on a Wednesday night coming to talk about Bitcoin and all different things in the industry. So yeah, that was a real fascinating time and a lot of learnings for me. I was very inexperienced, both in the industry and professionally as a business and entrepreneur. But yeah, you know, fast forward now, I'm well and truly down the rabbit hole. Like you mentioned, I'm one third of the organizers behind Bitcoin Alive, which is Australia's first, or if not at least largest, Bitcoin only conference to date. And yeah, we're really excited about it.
Yeah. And listening, preparing for this show, I was listening to some other podcast which had you on. And I found something really interesting about you, what you done last year. So I'll ask you the question, have you looked at the price this year?
Ah, yes, yes. I'm glad some people took notice, I guess. So to fill in any of the listeners that haven't kind of figured out what this all means. So essentially at the beginning of 2022, I actually put a tweet out on my Twitter saying, does anyone want to challenge me to see how long we can last not looking at the fiat price of Bitcoin? I'm not overly famous or popular, so nobody replied, no surprise. But so I took it upon myself. I said, all right, well, I'll do it. And so January 1st, 2022, I started a mission for 365 days to not check the price of Bitcoin, just to see how hard it would be, whether I could do it. You know, we've all been there. Some of us may still be there, where we're constantly refreshing our portfolio tracking page or logging onto our exchange to see the price of Bitcoin, to see if it's gone up, if it's gone down. It just becomes really stressful and takes up a lot of time and doesn't really add any value to your life, to be honest. I decided to set the challenge and turns out I succeeded for the most part. There were, I think, two, maybe three occasions where the price was revealed to me. I didn't check it myself, but there's always someone on the internet that likes to spoil the party. So a few people, when I would tweet something about it, you know, I would do sort of weekly, fortnightly updates where I'll say, you know, day 234, I haven't checked the price of Bitcoin. It's getting easy now, or whatever I was feeling at that time. If people are interested, they can go back through my Twitter and have a look at my journey. But yeah, there was a couple of times where someone would reply and you'd say, the price is 35,000 or whatever it was at the time. And then you'd say, oh, screw you. Someone always wants to ruin the fun. But other than those occasions, I still to this date haven't checked the price of Bitcoin myself. So I don't really know what the price is. Of course, I have a good idea of where it might be. I certainly know it's not 70,000 USD. It's significantly dropped. I see the news, you know, I know FTX collapsed, Luna collapsed. I know we're in a bear market. I'm not an idiot, but in terms of a dollar figure, I don't know. I could probably take a guess at a range, although I think it's gone up recently. So I don't actually know where that range might be now. We might be back up, not at 70,000, of course. I think people would be going crazy if we were at 70,000, and I would notice that. But, you know, we've gone up. Where that is, I'm not sure. But I guess the point is that it doesn't matter to me. Like, I am a long-term thinker. I have a very low time preference with my Bitcoin stack. I dollar cost average every day. So I set automated buy signals every single day, and they just happen without me having to interact or check or anything like that. So for me, the price of Bitcoin today, tomorrow, next week, next month, even next year is kind of noise. I don't really care. Either Bitcoin's going to a price where we think and hope it might get to, which is 6, 7, 8, 9 figures, or it's going to zero. And either way, I'm going to die on this hill. So what happens in the short term is irrelevant to me.
Right. It's got to be take a lot of discipline, because you know, sometimes with these big events, and especially last year, you know, it was Celsius collapse, FTX collapse, and all these big events, and you know, it must have a big impact on the price. You know, the price moved a lot last year, so it's going to be.
I look at that and just think, buy signals.
It does prove your Bitcoin credentials, because it was, there's many different levels of Bitcoiners. So
of course
you must have transcended to the next level, because like you said, the first level is we all like beginner level. You buy some Bitcoin and you're checking the price every hour, and you often try your hand at trading. And a lot of people now also I'll try betting on some other cryptocurrency. But as you learn more, you realize a lot of this is a waste of time and doesn't actually produce the returns. And you stop wasting your time by checking the price every day, by trying to do short-term trading, just invest long-term. And people also realize, usually after a bull cycle and a crash, they realize that actually all these cryptocurrencies are mostly scams and they should be investing in Bitcoin.
Spot on. So I agree with everything you just said.
So I think that shows your Bitcoin credentials, that you're qualified to organize a Bitcoin conference.
I actually had this one idea, funnily enough, so of doing like a price reveal party at Bitcoin Alive, where on one of the big LED screens on the main stage at some point during the day, you know, we force me to look at the price of Bitcoin, and that's like the big reveal. And I don't know if I actually want to do that, but it's an idea that's run through my head.
I should talk to your co-organizers and get them to play a practical joke for you. And when you turn around, like set the price to like 2 million or something, or zero or something, I don't know, just to get your reaction.
That's actually not a bad idea as well.
But yes, speaking of your co-organizers, so you're not organizing the conference by yourselves. There's some people helping you out. So just briefly, what's their background?
Yeah, sure. I can go into that. So the idea of Bitcoin Alive essentially stemmed from one of the local Bitcoin communities, the Bitcoin Sydney group, actually. So obviously I live in Sydney now. I live in the Blue Mountains, but Sydney's my closest capital city. And so I'm good friends with John, who's been running that meetup group for years, and I'm a frequent visitor to that meetup group. And so through that Telegram group, actually, someone at some point around September last year, I think it was thereabouts, pitched the idea of a Bitcoin conference. I'm sure it's not the first time it's been pitched, of course, but kind of the discussion was happening. And obviously I travel around, which I'm sure we'll probably touch on a little bit later, but I travel around the world and have been lucky enough to go to a lot of different Bitcoin conferences and meetups that range from, you know, 20 people to 20,000 people. And so I've always had this little inkling that it would be really cool to have something like that in Australia. So we don't have to travel so far overseas and spend so much money in order to get our Bitcoin conference fix. And so through that Telegram discussion, there was about a dozen of us that kind of forked off and started a different private group just so we didn't clog up the main channel. And we kept the discussion rolling for a week or so. And then we basically put the call to arms out to say, hey, does anyone want to actually progress this further? Maybe it's time we jump on a call and talk about a this a little bit more deeper than simply just text over a Telegram group. So we did that, and of those 12, I think 5 of us showed up, and of that 5, it ended up with 3 of us remaining. So myself and my 2 co-organizers, Dylan, who's one of the other Bitcoin Sydney members, and his partner, Jess, who is a professional events manager. So the 3 of us are going in together on this Bitcoin Alive venture. Essentially, Dylan and I are the Bitcoin crazies, and Jess is the one that makes sure things run on time, the venue's all in order, and all of the finer details when it comes to actual events management. I think without someone like that on the team, this is probably a recipe for disaster. You know, I've run meetups, but meetups are very different to full-blown large-scale conferences. It's a completely different kettle of fish. So yeah, I think it's a really good team. Between Dylan and I, we've got pretty much all of the Bitcoin stuff covered. Obviously, I've got several years of running startups on my own now. I've been doing that since 2016. So 6 years of startups, and I've worked in all different areas. Perhaps events management's not necessarily my expertise, but like I said, I've done plenty of meetups before, and we've got Jess to make sure that the place doesn't burn down on the day. But yeah, that's a little bit of background on the team.
Right. And with the event, who's it aimed at? Is it aimed at like these hardcore Bitcoiners like yourself and people who go to the meetups regularly? Is it aimed at them, or is it aimed kind of at beginners? Who's your audience?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's a difficult thing to kind of perfect, because you're never going to be able to please everyone, of course, no matter what you do. I've learned that in life. But, you know, ultimately, this is a Bitcoin conference. So, of course, it is aimed at Bitcoiners. But the way I sort of see it is, because there's nothing like this in Australia, whenever you mention something Bitcoin related, Bitcoiners stand up and take notice regardless, because we're all crazy about Bitcoin. So we'll happily talk about Bitcoin to anyone else that's willing to listen to us. So whilst it is definitely a conference for Bitcoiners, and there will be lots of Bitcoin, or all the content will be Bitcoin, of course, it's Bitcoin only. We want this to be accessible to a broader target audience. So we think, I'm under the impression that like if someone else was putting this on, I would be there. They wouldn't even need to convince me who's speaking, where it is. If it's happening in Australia, I'm there. I'm a crazy Bitcoiner that just wants to hang out with Bitcoiners. And I know there's several hundreds of other people like me in Australia that will simply just go to this because it exists. So from our perspective, hopefully they're not too difficult to convince to come to this thing. But we want this to reach out more broadly than simply 300 or 500 hardcore Bitcoin maxis. We want everyone to want to come to this thing, whether they're no coiners, pre-coiners, shit coiners, or even just industry professionals from traditional finance or anything, really. We want this to be an awakening event for anyone interested in Bitcoin or anything relevant to Bitcoin, whether that's mining, self-custody, you know, the future of payments, whatever that might be. There's probably an interest for a lot of people just beyond the hardcore maxi core group that we have here. So yeah, we're trying to make sure that the event isn't just a silo of the same people that we probably are in these Telegram groups. We want to find new Bitcoiners. We want to educate other people who've maybe heard about it but don't know much about it, or don't know where to start, or don't have any friends who can show them. Like, we want everyone to come to this event.
Okay, well, I think that's a good idea, and I like that. Because for people like us, like you said, we'll come anyway. And for us, part of it is just to meet. The main purpose is really to meet other kind of people like that we see on Twitter and such. So that's kind of our main goal. And a lot of the presentations were good, but we probably heard a lot of that stuff already. So
really
the point is to meet. But doing some talks or whatever you'll be doing there for beginners or people still trying to get into Bitcoin. I think it's a great idea, because yeah, we don't want to be in this kind of silo. We want to open things up to beginners and teach them. I mean, that's what I try to do a lot. I do the I'd like Bitcoin meetup, and even with my business and even with this podcast, I'm trying to do a little bit different than other podcasts. I'm trying to do more shows. I'm that beginners to teach them the basics.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. Like a lot of these Bitcoin conferences for the Bitcoiners, they've been listening to the podcast. They've been reading the articles and the blogs and everything about all of the content already. Like pretty much every night I'm going to sleep listening to a Bitcoin podcast. So when I go to a Bitcoin conference, I don't particularly need to sit there for 8 hours listening to someone on stage tell me what I more or less already know. Of course, it's nice to see the people that you listen to on podcasts in the flesh, and maybe they've got some new ideas because, you know, Bitcoin is always evolving and there's always new things to uncover. But generally speaking, the magic tends to happen simply by socializing. And because Bitcoin is a digitally native piece of technology, most people don't really socialize in the flesh. They'll talk to each other on Twitter, or maybe they'll jump on a Zoom call every now and then, or they'll just be in a group texting each other. And we are social creatures, including myself. I'm very social, so I like getting there. I like shaking people's hands, looking at their body language, sharing a beer with them, things you can't do online. And that's, I think, where a lot of the Bitcoiners find these events the most satisfying, is simply getting together and having a laugh, sharing some stories, sharing some experiences. Yes, the content is nice and there might be one or two things for many Bitcoiners, but yeah, we are going to try to aim a lot of the content, or at least a good portion of the content of Bitcoin Alive, at beginners, at people who genuinely want to consume the information because they've never heard it before. For the Bitcoiners, they're just going to have a great time hanging out with other Bitcoiners.
Yeah, so for anybody listening, if you are a beginner and you do want to learn more about Bitcoin, I think this would be a great opportunity, because there will be some really smart people there and experts from all around Australia and some from around the world that you can ask questions and learn from. But speaking of the speakers, what are some of the speakers that will be coming there, and some of the talks? Obviously we can't go through all of them, and because I've seen there's already a lot of speakers announced, but you maybe just give us some examples of things people can expect.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've been putting a lot of work before the new year and into January to try lock in as many speakers as we can, because we want the highest quality people delivering Bitcoin education and topics at the event. So yeah, pretty happy with where we're at the moment. I think we're maybe like 30, maybe even more than 30 speakers locked in, predominantly Australian based. This is an Australian Bitcoin conference, so we want to make sure that we represent our country and all of the great Bitcoiners that we have here. And mind you, we have a lot of really, really high quality Bitcoiners. I thought, maybe a little bit naive of me, but I thought I knew everyone and anything going on in Bitcoin in Australia, because, you know, it is a pretty small country in terms of population. It's obviously very large in terms of space, but in terms of population, we don't have that many people here. It's not America, it's not Europe or anything like that. But we have a lot of really high quality Bitcoiners, whether they're podcasters, working at projects, developers, or anything in between. We've got some really serious talent here. And so when I put the call to arms out to the speakers, I was uncovering all these people I'd never heard of before, thinking, like, where have you been hiding? And I guess that's also part of the reason of Bitcoin Alive, is there are so many great things happening in Australia, but they're so far spread. So what's happening in Adelaide, I don't typically have any idea, unless I speak to someone like yourself, Daniel, and you tell me. I have no idea, because I'm in Sydney. And the same goes for pretty much any other state. They're generally not really interacting with each other from what I've seen. I've been to a lot of the local Bitcoin meetups around the country, not yet Adelaide, but I will be there this weekend and hopefully meet some of the Bitcoiners. But you know, I've been to the Melbourne one, I've been to the Queensland ones, I've been to the Sydney ones, I've gone to Perth last week. So I've met a lot of Bitcoiners, and no one's connecting these dots together. So first and foremost, that's what Bitcoin Alive is we just want to bring all of that talent into the one room and see what happens. I'm pretty sure it's going to be magical, but no one's ever done it before. So let's at least get that done. So yeah, a lot of our speakers, I'd say 90% of them, are from Australia or Australians who live overseas and are coming back for the conference. And then we're just planning to sprinkle in a few international speakers on top. so they can give their perspective from a different region, from a different culture. So, you know, we've got people like Pete Wynn from Fedi. You know, Fedi's one of probably last year's hottest Bitcoin startup. And, you know, they're doing some interesting things. We've got Bitcoin developers, you know, working on Core and Lightning, people like Nick Farrow, Philip, Rusty Russell from Blockstream. Like, you know, we're making sure that we get some really high quality technical speakers. So the people that are into those types of discussions are going to get their itches scratched. But then, you know, we've got people who are going to be aiming at more beginner type content, like things like, you know, everyone wants to know, how do I treat my Bitcoin if I'm trading? So we're going to have people talking about taxation and self-managed super funds and, you know, all things that everyday folk who aren't necessarily technical developers will want to consume that kind of content. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with the speaker talent that we've got so far. I think we've got about 20 announced on the website, and we're doing kind of daily announcements through our social media channels as well. But we've probably got at least another 10 or so, including a couple of hopefully special international speakers too.
Right. And it's definitely true that there's much more talent than even I thought. And actually, even looking at the speakers list, I saw even a speaker from Adelaide who I wasn't actually aware of. So it's like, oh, wow, who's this guy? How come I don't know him?
Is that Tarek?
Yes, I think he's something like that. I can't remember his name, but yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
So about the event, so it's held in Sydney, like I said, April 15th, but can you tell us what's the venue like? Is it going to be a good place, good party? Are we, like, Sydney is a great place. I like going to Sydney, but yeah, maybe you can share some more details about that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Actually did a site visit on Monday this week to the venue. I've been there many times before. So it's at the University of New South Wales, and they have a place on the campus there called the Roundhouse, which is just a venue. Typically, they hold conferences and large-scale music events, so DJs, bands, stuff like that. It's a top-of-the-line venue, you know, professional AV, professional stage. They actually just spent $30 million renovating it over the last couple of years. So it's even nicer than I remembered it from previous years. But, you know, this isn't some small basement in some warehouse or something like that. Like, this is a proper conference. So people can expect they're going to get, you know, a high quality event when they come to this thing. But yeah, it's about 10 to 15 minutes from the city on the light rail or via car. There's actually a light rail stop literally outside the front door of the Roundhouse. So if people are staying anywhere around the city, they'll be able to jump on that light rail and catch it to the door of the event, which is nice and convenient for people traveling interstate or from internationals. But yeah, it's a really, really cool venue. It's, as the name suggests, it's circular. It's a big round venue. It has two levels. So the bottom level will be the main stage, where we'll have like a 6x3, 6x4 meter stage with a big screen behind it, professional audio and visual and lighting. It'll have, depending on how many people we can get to this thing, and that's the big unknown at the moment, is how many people are actually interested in a Bitcoin conference. You know, we hope we can fill it out. It has capacity for 2,200 people, but that's in like a concert setting where everyone's shoulder to shoulder in a mosh pit watching a band. Obviously, that's not what it's going to be like for Bitcoin Alive. So we can fit up to about 900 seats in that main stage on the floor, on the ground floor. Whether we put out 900 seats or not is a different question, and we'll know that closer to the date. But there'll be seating for people on the main stage on the ground floor. And then there's also an upstairs section as well. So there'll be a little VIP area for any of the speakers, sponsors, exhibitors, and anyone that purchases a VIP ticket, which actually went on sale a few days ago. So for anyone that wants to mingle with the speakers or anyone like that, that's a good opportunity to do so, is get yourself a VIP ticket and you get to rub shoulders with all the speakers and the sponsors and the exhibitors. But there'll be, you know, tea and coffee and all sorts of things provided for those folks as well, plus a separate viewing platform from the second deck, which is nice. You get to overlook the main stage. It's really nice up there. We'll also have one, maybe two breakout rooms at the venue. We're undecided on exactly whether that's going to be one or two. Definitely one, possibly two, depending on how we schedule the entire content and the agenda. We're working through that at the moment, and hopefully by sometime next month in February, we'll have that knuckled down and we'll know exactly whether that's going to be one or two stages. But each of those breakout rooms can fit, you know, 200, 250 people. And so the kind of thinking behind what we want to do with the day is the main stage will predominantly be used for group style discussions. So think things like fireside chats, moderated panels, things like that, where we have multiple people on the stage. There may be one or two people doing keynote presentations, but kind of our thinking behind it is, you know, we've only got maybe 7 or 8 hours of this event, which is still, of course, a long time. But if we're talking about different sessions plus lunch, you know, we may only get 7, 8, 9 sessions throughout the day on the main stage. We've got 30, 35 speakers. That would mean if we had one person doing a presentation for 30 minutes, we would only get 7 people on that main stage. So obviously we want to get as many people on that main stage in front of the big crowd as possible. And so that's why we're going with more group style discussions on that main stage. And so the breakout rooms, whether that's one or two, undecided at the moment, those breakout rooms will be used for all of the other content. So anyone perhaps doing a workshop where they're running through how to set up a cold card, or you know, how do you set up a self-managed super fund? Things where it's a lot more controlled, it's less conversational and it's more presentation. Those will be conducted in the side rooms. So someone might do a Lightning 101 workshop in the side room. That would be perfect in a room with, you know, 100, 200 people where they get to control everything. It's nice and intimate. You know, they can put up slides, stuff like that. Whereas the main stage will be, you know, more broader discussions where there'll be a panel, there'll be a questions bouncing back and forth, different opinions, stuff like that.
And the ticket, so the tickets are on, I believe the pre-sale has ended, but they're still on sale now and they'll be for a while. So what are the ticket prices right now?
Yeah, you're right. You're spot on. So we did a pre-sale period for about 3 or 4 days to people who signed up to our pre-sale list, and anyone in the immediate sort of Bitcoin community that pays attention would have been able to snap up one of those tickets, and they were the cheapest that they'll ever be. So if you missed out, we're sorry, but we gave you as much warning as we could. Full sale release tickets are now live. They're going for $199 plus any booking fees that come with that, depending on whether you pay in fiat or Bitcoin. We accept both. Bitcoin is cheaper, of course. If you want to pay in Bitcoin, we accept Bitcoin on-chain and Lightning. So that's your best bet. And we've had quite a few people actually paying with Bitcoin, which has been nice to see. There are also VIP tickets, which are available. VIP tickets are $499. And they're available again through fiat payments or through Bitcoin payments. They will just give you, like I mentioned earlier, exclusive access to the speakers and the private room where you'll have some special catering, food, drinks, coffee, tea. There'll also be a separate viewing platform for their VIP ticket holders, some additional discounts that we're working on as well through some of the exhibitors and the merchandise. And there'll also be a drinks package for an hour after the event for a networking session. So when the event finishes and all the content wraps up around about 5 or 6 p.m., we'll start a networking session for everyone. Everyone will be invited to it. But if you've got a VIP ticket, you'll get comp drinks for that hour, whereas everyone else will just have to pay their own drinks at the bar. So yeah, they're available now. Ticket sales are going quite well. Obviously, we want as many people to come to this thing as possible. We can fit, you know, up to probably 1,500 comfortably. I don't think we'll get probably anywhere close to 1,500, but of course, that's a good problem to have if we do. But you know, anyone interested remotely, please come along. This is exceptionally cheap for a Bitcoin conference. I know some people are probably feeling the pinch with inflation and cost of living and all that, and which I'm totally understandable. But you know, for kind of comparison, if you were to go to any other Bitcoin conference, essentially anywhere in the world, let's use, say, Pacific Bitcoin as an example, which I went to last year in November. So that's a Bitcoin conference run by Swan Bitcoin in Los Angeles. Those tickets were $799 USD. So we're looking at over $1,000 for a 2-day conference in LA. So we're not even including flights, which are probably $2,000, accommodation for a couple of days at least, which is a few hundred dollars at least. So you're looking at going to a Bitcoin conference in LA for no less than probably $3,000 to $5,000. So for $199, it's a very affordable conference. Right now, we're self-funding this entire thing. So, you know, we're taking the capital risk. We're taking all of the risk on our own shoulders. And we hope Bitcoiners will really get behind us. And many of them have already. The support has been overwhelming and very, very thankful and appreciative for everyone that's you know, sent their wishes, bought a ticket, shared the event, told their friends about it, wished us luck. No one's done this before, so there's lots of unknowns as to whether this is even possible, but we're sticking our neck out. We're giving it a go. I think it's well overdue. Like you mentioned earlier in the pod, there's lots of crypto, Web3, blockchain conferences happening around Australia, but nothing in terms of Bitcoin, which, you know, is a little bit of shameful because, you know, we should really remember where this whole thing started. It was Bitcoin. Without Bitcoin, there would be no cryptocurrency, blockchain, Web3, DeFi. So a lot of people have kind of forgotten the fundamentals of where this whole thing began, and we're here to kind of hold up that fort and remind people that, hey, Bitcoin still works and it's solving problems and it's being used by millions of people all around the world, and, you know, no one's getting scammed by it.
Right, $190 is very cheap, especially for a place like Sydney, because Sydney and Australia, it's not a cheap country. So conferences regularly go for hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars even. So for the amount of quality people that will be there, that you can talk to, I think that's a great price. Is that going to be the final price, or we would be going up again before the event date?
There will likely be one more price rise before the event date. Yeah. So okay. People will have some time. So, you know, you don't have to decide today or tomorrow whether you need to buy your ticket or not. But, you know, I would not wait until, you know, 2 weeks before the event. Although a lot of people do tend to wait to right before the event to buy a ticket. You know, my advice to you would be get in once you've confirmed with yourself that you're interested in going. That'll also help you get cheaper flights, cheaper accommodation, should you have to come from interstate. So I would avoid the mad rush that comes with the end FOMO period. But as you mentioned earlier, there's discount codes available if you're looking around. So if you want to get yourself 10% off, that will remain all the way up until ticket sales close. Regardless of what the ticket sale prices are, you'll always be able to get 10% off. So people can use your discount code, DanW. And they can get 10% off either general admission tickets or VIP tickets.
And regarding what you said about the conferences, a few years ago, I went to a conference organized by Blockchain Australia, the Blockchain Conference. I think it was in 2018.
And the man was probably at that one as well.
Sorry, were you there?
Probably. I've been to many of these old school blockchain conferences.
Yeah, it was
pretty terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. And I went, the main reason I went there because it was around the time when the AUSTRAC regulations were coming into place. So the people from AUSTRAC were going to be there. So I just wanted to learn a bit about the regulations. That was the main reason. But I went there, and some of my experiences, first thing, I hardly heard the word Bitcoin spoken, like literally. I could count on one hand the times I heard the word Bitcoin.
Yep.
It was all just blockchain technology.
Unfortunately, that's what the rhetoric and the narrative is in this country is, you know, it's easy to sell to the government. They have no idea what any of it is. And so these organizations like Blockchain Australia, they realize the money's there to be made if we can fool the government into thinking that blockchain is going to be doing everything, whether it's supply chain, logistics, or tracking. And, you know, the reality of this is if you've been around long enough, a lot of those narratives have holes everywhere and they're essentially not possible. And we've seen this with every single cycle in crypto where, you know, 2017, literally everyone had an ICO and a white paper talking about blockchain on this, blockchain on that. I'd say 95% of those companies don't exist anymore. And the 5% that do just raised a lot of money and can market their way to existence. They don't have real life products solving real life problems. Bitcoin is the only one, in my opinion, that has a chance of doing anything useful.
Yeah, I mean, you're bang on. There were like obviously a lot of booths and I'm from businesses and I'm pretty sure 95 of those businesses don't exist. The only ones left over are some of the big crypto casino exchanges.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, talking to people, you could tell most of them had no clue. They would use the word blockchain and they actually have no idea what a blockchain is. They have no idea how it works. It's like going to some of the Bitcoin events around the world. You actually meet people who know about Bitcoin. They know it. Like you have, wow, like these people know what they're talking about. I have respect for them. But at that big Bitcoin conference, I was talking to people who had no clue what it is. And they're just sold on that phrase blockchain technology, and it's sold to the governments and like and companies, and they want to be associated, or we need some blockchain technology, and none of them actually know what they're talking about. So yeah, I mean, this would be a real conference with real Bitcoiners who actually know what we're talking about. We can actually 100%. Learn from people like yourself, Chris, who've been around for a long time and who know what we're talking about.
Oh, I don't know everything, of course, but collectively, there's a lot of really amazing talent in the Bitcoin industry here in Australia. And I think if anyone comes along to Bitcoin Alive, they're going to be wowed. You know, I've been to a lot of these blockchain conferences. You know, I was once young and didn't understand what was happening and thought also that blockchain was going to solve every problem. You know, obviously, in hindsight, I've realized that that's largely a fallacy. But, you know, back in 2017, with all the different projects coming out, I was overwhelmed. I thought, wow, look at all this stuff. We're going to be able to do everything on blockchain. And turns out that's not the truth. But yeah, a lot of people are still stuck in that mindset where, yeah, like you said, they either don't understand it or they've been sold something that they think sounds good, but in reality can't actually be done or is incredibly inefficient or whatever that may be, whatever the problems are. There's a myriad of problems when it comes to blockchain.
So that was before you transcended to the higher level.
Exactly. I took the right amount of concoction in my cocktail and now I'm in a different dimension.
But speaking of the actual good conferences, you go to a lot around the world to Bitcoin events. So just wanted to also, maybe you could share some of your experience about them, some other conferences and Bitcoin events from around the world. What are some of the ones you've been to and some of the ones you really liked and why you liked them?
Yeah, for sure. I've been, you know, very, very thankful and blessed to be able to go to some of these Bitcoin conferences, especially after going to several of these, you know, fintech, blockchain, Web3 conferences over the prior years in Australia. Going to a Bitcoin conference, like, because there isn't one in Australia up until Bitcoin Alive later this year, you had to go overseas to get that experience. And so the first one that I went to was Adopting Bitcoin in 2021. In El Salvador, actually, of all places. And, you know, I urge people, if they have the opportunity to go to El Salvador to check it out for themselves, it's an absolutely inspiring country. What's happening there right now is incredible. I've actually been there twice now. I went there again last year for Adopting Bitcoin, and there's a high chance that I might end up there again this year. I just love the place. It's really, really awesome. But that really opened up my eyes because I had this, you know, I've been to Ethereum conferences, I've been to blockchain conferences, and, you know, I thought that's what they were all like. And, you know, there's the famous video of Vitalik and a bunch of other people on stage dancing like animals and rapping. And I'm sure many people, maybe not that many Bitcoiners have seen it, but it's cringe. It's hard to watch. But I was there when that was happening and I literally got up and left the room and I thought, is this what Ethereum is about? Not to dig too much at Ethereum. I think they're all shit. Take your pick. But, you know, going to a Bitcoin conference is entirely different. It's the amount of intelligence in that room is something I've never experienced before. It actually, going to El Salvador in 2021 and going to Adopting Bitcoin was almost like the kick up the ass I needed to really, like you said, transcend to that next level. I was a Bitcoiner, but there were elements that I needed to improve on, and going to a Bitcoin-only conference forced me to do that and to take those next steps to purify myself even further than what I already was. And so, yeah, that's an awesome place to go to, awesome conference to go to, very different to other conferences. So another Bitcoin conference I went to, which I mentioned earlier, was Pacific Bitcoin in Los Angeles. So I went there last year just before adopting Bitcoin for the second time. I went to LA for that. And that's a very Americanized LA conference. And it was awesome. Like the speaker talent there was second to none. Like you couldn't really think of a name in Bitcoin that is anyone important that wasn't there. You know, Michael Saylor, Lynn Alden, Robert Breedlove, Jeff Booth, like whether you like these people or not, like these are the who's who of Bitcoin, Natalie Brunel, like everyone. And it was absolutely amazing. Again, I listen to these people pretty much every day. So a lot of the content necessarily wasn't groundbreaking. And a lot of the fun was simply just meeting Bitcoiners in person, like having, you know, getting to meet Greg Foss and have a chat with him was awesome. You know, I don't typically get to do that in my day-to-day life. And so that was really magical. And I really enjoyed that. But yeah, that's part of the inspiration for Bitcoin Alive, is to bring some of that to Australia, you know, make it more easy for Aussies to experience something like this, because I know what it did for me. And it was very moving and very inspirational to go to these Bitcoin conferences and realize, yeah, okay, I'm definitely not the smartest person in this room, which means I'm in the right room. And also, you know, this thing, I don't know how it's going to be stopped or if it can be stopped, because the intellect in that room and in this industry is second to none. And again, to make that comparison compared to the Ethereum conference where they were dancing like children on stage, it's vastly different. Like that's not the kind of stuff you see at a Bitcoin conference. It's pure signal. The noise has been removed and it's just very, very high quality. Like, I dare say that's the kind of feeling I want people leaving when they come to Bitcoin Alive. I want them coming to Bitcoin Alive and going, holy shit, like that was something special. Whether you're a complete beginner or you're a seasoned Bitcoiner, there's going to be something there for everyone. And we want everyone, and that's partially the reason behind the name of Bitcoin Alive, is that we want it to be like that moment where for everyone that comes, it's like that spark, that like the light bulb moment. It's alive. Like I get it now. Or great, I've met someone and we're working on a new idea. Or cool, like this has really invigorated me to change my career into Bitcoin. Or whatever that might be for the people. Let that decide that for themselves. But that's what we want to replicate with Bitcoin Alive.
Look, Chris, I'm very excited for it. I can't wait. I think we can wrap up the show for today, because I tried not to keep it too long. But yeah, thanks for coming on and sharing, talking about the conference, and thanks for organizing the conference for all of us. So like for anybody at home, the website is bitcoinalive.com, is it? Or
it's www.bitcoinalive.io. And you can also find us on all of the social channels. Bitcoin Alive on Twitter. There's a Facebook event. There's an Instagram event. We're generally most active on Twitter because that's where all the action tends to happen. But yeah, you can find all the information on our website.
Yeah, and you can use the code DANW, and that would give them a 10% discount. You said yes?
Spot on. That's right. Okay, so that'll bring the tickets down to, I think, currently about $179, which is crazy. It's crazy cheap.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Is there anything we didn't talk about, Chris, that before we finish up, is there anything you'd like to mention or?
No, not really. I think we've covered a lot. I mean, like most Bitcoiners, it's almost harder to stop talking. We could chat for hours and hours about all things Bitcoin, and we're going to do that at Bitcoin Alive. So I welcome everyone to come along and join the conversation. But, you know, if you want to reach out to us, do so via our website, via our Twitter page or anything like that. If you want to reach out to me, I'm on Twitter as well, Lungdoge, LUNGDOGE. I'm always happy to take questions, always happy to take calls. If people have ideas of what they want to see at Bitcoin Alive, this is an event for everyone. This is not an event to get ourselves rich, to rug pull people. This is an event for the community. We just happen to be the people running it, but we want to do this for, it's a community service. We want to make sure that people enjoy themselves. So if there's certain things that people want to see or certain speakers, although, you know, we're getting close to full capacity on our speaker slot, let us know. Like, we'll do whatever we can humanly possible to make sure people have a good time at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get rich selling tickets at $190. I mean, just the time involved and the venue costs, it's not, so you,
we're not making money. No, we just don't want to lose too much money. That's kind of our goal, is year one, let's try to get as close as we can to break even. Unfortunately, we've had a lot more of a difficult time than I thought we would with sponsors. It's obviously a bear market, which we're very understanding of, and many Bitcoin-only businesses don't have a lot of spare capital, which is, you know, totally understandable. But yeah, if there's any Bitcoin businesses out there that are willing or like what they hear and want to get involved, please reach out. We're more than happy to work with you. That's the difficulty in running what we're trying to run, is we're not taking money from the casinos, from any of the crypto companies, and they typically have all the money because they're selling snake oil. And
Sorry for interrupting, but yeah.
No, that's fine.
Gambling is a good business model.
Oh yeah, exactly. But you know, we've drawn the line with what we want to do with our event. So we're not taking money from those places because it doesn't align with what we're trying to create. There will be other people and other conferences, and there are other conferences in Australia that do cater for that. We want to make sure we cater to Bitcoin. So yeah, if anyone out there want to give a hand in any shape or form, you know, we're very appreciative. Even if you just share it with your friends, if you buy a ticket, whatever that might be, we're very, very thankful. The support has been overwhelming, and we just want to make this the best Bitcoin event that's ever happened in Australia.
Okay, I'll put all those details, your Twitter links and the website links, in the show notes. But yeah, great. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for coming on.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me, Daniel. It's been a great time.